New Year's resolutions are always a fascinating thing. A lot of people like to make these New Year's resolutions and say, this year I'm going to be good about, I don't know, what I eat or exercise more or spend more time with my wife or learn more or whatever it is. We do this around Rosh Hashanah time, and then we call them kabbalos, that we accept upon ourselves certain chiyuvim, self-mandated chiyuvim that we are taking on ourselves to try to be better. So the question is there any correlation between the New Year's resolution in the secular world and the kabbalos that we take on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Or is it actually chukas ha-goyim? Might it be an ister of following the goyim in their customs? Bichlal, can we or should we even, is it mutter even to recognize the secular New Year? So and these are all topics we're going to include. So just to recap, we have four particular questions that we're going to ask. Number one, do we recognize New Year's? Is it chukas ha-akum to count the years and months of the secular calendar? Number two, is the chukas ha-goyim to make resolutions? There's some sort of ritual practice or something like that that's associated with it, which would make it usher. Number three, how does this compare to the kabbalas that we make on Rosh Hashanah? Is it comparable? Is that different? And number four, bechlal, is it halachically mutter to be making nedarim? What's the Torah's, what's the halacha stance on taking nedarim? These kabbalas or these resolutions basically seem to be tantamount to taking nedarim. So, okay, we're going to jump in as follows. So the secular calendar is a big topic. It actually happens to show up in this week's parsha, where the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzaveh Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, right? That this month, meaning the month of Nisan, should be for you the first of the months. Rishon Hu L'Chodesh Hashanah is the first of the months of the year. So the Ramban says that means that actually Nisan has to be the first of the year, has to be the first month of the year. And that it would be in a certain way forbidden, it'd be actually usher to be counting other months of the year. This actually develops into a machlokes achronim about the question as to how, you know, we do count the months of the year. You know, many times when we sign checks, when we are writing letters, things like that, so we have a need to write according to the secular calendar. We are living in a world which is using the Gregorian calendar, and therefore we need to, we kind of need to use those numbers. So the question is, what's the ideal way to do it? So Rav Avadia Yosef Zatzal writes in the Yabia Omer that really the best way in order to not be counting according to the Goyisha calendar is to not count them the way that the Goyim do. You know, sometimes people write 2/22. So he's saying that it's better not to do that. Why? Because you're actually counting by the number and you're saying this month of January is the first month of the year. And that goes straight in the face of that Ramban on this week's parsha. So rather, he says it's better to write by the name of January. January, write out a new check, January 2nd, 2022. And that would be an Nisan Teisha Torah. And that would be the ideal way to write the date. However, the Tzitz Eliezer says it's actually worse to write it that way, because when you write it by the name of the month, it says the names of the month are actually based on the Avodah Zarah that the pagans used to worship in the old days. So therefore, by counting by the names of the month, it's actually worse in terms of the fact that you're in a sense giving credit to the pagan gods. So they have this machlokes between Rav Avadia and Tzitz Eliezer as to what's the ideal way for us to count our months. According to the secular calendar, La Halacha, Rav Sternbach Paskins, that numbers are okay, and Shuvos and Hagos, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal and Yibodel Chaim Tovim Rav Shechter Shlita both indicate that counting according to numbers is a little bit more ideal than counting according to names. So that's with regards to counting from the secular calendar. What about the secular year, 2022, as opposed to 5782? So this is going to be based on machlokes as to whether or not the Gregorian calendar is actually based on the AD concept, the AD of after death of Yashka, to actually count from that time would be a problem. That's how many historians and poskim understand that that's how the Gregorian calendar works. However, Rav Avadia again is machadish that actually that's not what it's based on, and that it's kind of more of a objective count. And in which case he says actually counting from the you know, according to the secular year does not carry an issue to it. So we definitely many people are some kind of Avadia for this. And that answers our question number one. Do we recognize New Year's? Do we recognize Chukas Akkos again? So L'chadchila, no, but we're not supposed to be counting by that system. However, there's a malismoch to rely on Rav Avadia's shita by saying that you could function with the secular calendar years. Now the question becomes: what about the custom of New Year's resolutions, right? When the goyim take on, I'm going to be good about my diet, or I'm going to be good, a better sister-in-law, and I'm going to call my aunt every week, whatever, all these kinds of like resolutions. So is there anything like religious about that? So I did some research, and I found on history.com, it says that the source of New Year's resolutions could be possibly traced back to the Babylonians 4,000 years ago. Now we know the Babylonians, about that time ago, they were a religious people. They were paganistic people. They believed in the powers of these gods. So they would have a New Year's actually in mid-March, where they would pray to gods for good crops and the merit of certain promises they would make to them. So that would seem to be a religious practice. And later on in history, in the Roman era, so Julius Caesar changed the New Year to January 1st against, okay, if it was because of Yashka or not. And there, the Romans offered sacrifices to a god they called Janus, which was where the name January came from. And Janus was the god of the doorway, that he is in the door and out the door. So they made January into this month of looking past back at the old year and looking forward to the new year. And that was also, presumably, it seems to be a religious practice. In 1740, it started to become very popular by the Christians to have like a renewal service in January. And so it seems like this whole renewal service is in a certain sense a derivative of this Babylonian custom. And according to that, it would seem that it should be usur to make New Year's resolutions by the beginning of the secular year, because it would be copying a certain practice of Avodah Zarah. However, we may have two rationales as to why it could be okay. Number one is, there's a Tosfos, I don't remember exactly where I was looking at for this. Tosfos says that that today's Goyim, and Tosfos is saying this, I was in the Middle Ages, are not so religious anymore. They're actually not so makbid on many of their customs. They're not so makbid on various religious practices. And so therefore, it could be that what they're doing is not really so religious. The truth is also, if you look at, like we said, a lot of the resolutions that people take on about being careful about a diet or all different kinds of like practices, they are not really religious practices at all. They are practices which are really geared more towards self-improvement. So that self-improvement is not really necessarily a problem. Indeed, when we look at the source for Chukas HaGoyim, so the Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, tells us that there's a prohibition to follow the ways of the Goyim. And Perek Chaf, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, it tells us, V'lo selchu b'chukas ha-goy, asher ani mishalech mibneichem, ki es kol eila asu v'al kutzba. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't follow in the ways of, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be surrounded by the Shivus Ta'amim, and I don't want you to be caught up with them, so don't follow in their ways. So what is that? What is that referring to? So the Rambam, interestingly, when he brings down this halacha, so he says that it has to do with the way people dress, the way they get haircuts, things like that. So why is that? Why does he specify that it's in these kinds of practices? What, there's many other things that Goyim do that we shouldn't be doing. So the Tur writes that the Rambam is saying like this because Ein Tzarich Lomar, you don't have to even say the Lixon, the Nachesh, all of the superstitions and all of the Avodah Zarahs that the Goyim were guilty of. So obviously you can't do that. Those are some Midin Avodah Zarah. Those are some Midin, lack of Emunah and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But he says rather it refers to different Minhagim, different practices that they used to have. And so therefore, that's why the Rambam describes them to be manifest in just general conduct. So to summarize what exactly is included in Chukas HaAkum, so the Darach HaMoshe, the Rambam writes on the Tur that he quotes from the Maharik that there's really two categories of the Isra Chukas HaAkum. Number one, something that has no tam for the Minhag HaGoyim, which means that presumably they are doing it, I mean, there's no rational reason, there's no logical, practical reason. And so therefore, it's presumed that they're doing it with l'shem avodah zarah. But if there is some sort of toeles, like let's say a certain beged represents something, right? Let's say wearing a doctor's robes or like a white jacket as a doctor, something like that. So is it just going to do that? No, not just going to do that. Anybody who's a doctor wants to wear the white robe because it's a white jacket. It's representative of certain chachma that you studied, you graduated medical school, you know what you're talking about, people should trust you. And that professionalism for Jewish doctors is going to be very, very important in order for people to trust their professionalism. So something like that would be mutter. Or other things that don't have necessarily toilets. There's a little bit of a question when it comes to say style, fashions, new fashions that come about. So what do those fashions do? If they are a goyish fashion, they're not something that is accepted in the Jewish community, so it might be considered chukas akum. However, it could be argued that perhaps even being up to date with fashion is a relatively valid rationale of something that's considered toilet. The second thing that the Darach HaMoshe says is that it's usur if there's any sort of lack of tzmius or any sort of pritzos in the custom of the goyim. But if it's lavush of goyim, which is considered tanua, and it's just it's equivalently tanua to the dress of the Jewish people, then that's mutter. It's totally fine. So based on those two categories. So taking on a New Year's resolution that would be something that's with toelas, losing weight or maintaining good relationships with people or things like that, those are all things which lechora should be mutter in terms of chukas hagoyim. How does this compare to Kabbalas on Rosh Hashanah? So I heard many years ago from Rav Shechter Shlita that what's the idea of Kabbalas on Rosh Hashanah? So he says that it says in Parshas Vayetze when Yaakov is leaving leaving Canaan and he's on his way to Haran to go meet Rachel and Leah and work by Laban. So it says Vayidu Yaakov Neder Limor. Yaakov took a vow saying Vayidu Yaakov Neder Limor. In Yashem Madi, Hashem will leave me, Shmarani B'derek Shani Halech, and protect me on the way that I go. So Hashem will be for me a God, and I'll stay loyal to Hashem, I'll fulfill mitzvahs, etc. And I'll give mice. So Yaakov Avinu is very worried about this dangerous path that he has ahead, and he's going to travel, which is dangerous, he's going to face love, which is dangerous, and he's facing all of these issues. So the question is, what's Vayidu Yaakov Neder Leimor, though? So what does it mean he took a vow, Leimor? Usually, Leimor, when we see by Dabar Hashem and Moshe Leimor, things like that, it means Leimor Lebnei Yisrael. It means say it over to somebody else. What's Leimor? Leimor means Leimor Ledoros. Say it over to the generations. So this is what Tosfos and Kulin, Daf Beis and Beis, quotes and says, Leimor Ledoros means that Kadosh Baruch was telling, or Yaakovin was teaching all of us, I guess, that Leimor Ledoros, to say for all generations, that whenever a person is in a situation of sakana, they should take a neder in order to create a zchus that will protect them from that sakana. So Shachter explained that that's what a Kabbalah is on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a time of sakana. It's a Yom HaDin. It's a time when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is judging us, and we don't know what's going to be. Sifri Chaim, Sifri Meisim, Shlichim Lefanav. The books of life and death are open in front of him. So, how is a person supposed to survive that? So he should take on a neder, he should take on a Kabbalah. I'm going to be more careful about davening. I'm going to be more careful about my benching. I'm going to be more careful you know, about not speaking lashon hara. All the nedarim, there are certain chumras maybe that a person might take on in order to help him create zchuyos to survive that shas sakana. So therefore, if that is the makor for our kabbalas and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so really, then our kabbalas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are not really emulating Chas V'Shalom in any sort of way, these New Year's resolutions, but really, actually, they are preceding, you know, the Babylonians from 4,000 years ago, right? Yaakov Avinu was way before that. So if that is ultimately what entrenched the notion of taking on, you know, new ideas, creating a spheres for ourselves through a nether, through a Kabbalah, so that is actually a great source, and it would bevorn the whole question, or avoid the whole question of Chukos HaAkum. Finally, just the question of, you know, is it proper to be taking on Nedarim anyway? So this is a sugi in and of itself, you know, that comes up in Mesachs Nedarim and the poskim there. And it basically, you know, when looking through the Gemara and the poskim, so you find a kind of like a double-edged sword, a two-way approach about the topic. On one hand, you have the famous Yushami in the Nedarim that tells us that L'Odai Alecha Masha Asbet Torah, that a person who is, you know, taking on the Nedarim, so, you know, what is it that they are taking on? They are, you know, making themselves into almost in a sense fuller than God type of a person. The Yerushalmi says, "Rav Dimi b'shem Rav Yitzchak says, Lodayecha mashia shalacha Torah, ela shata mevakesh lesor alecha dvarim acherim." You're trying to ask upon yourselves other things that the that Hashem didn't say you had to forbid upon yourself. That doesn't make any sense. You know, who are you to be firmer than God in a sense? However, the poskim tell us, the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea, in Hilchos Nedarim, Simon Reish Gimel, Sif Aleph, tells us, Al Tehi Ragil B'Nedar. He also says, don't be so common to make Nedarim, Kol Noder, Afal Pi Hashem Kaim, Nikar Rasha. Anybody who takes a nether, even if he fulfills a nether, still called the Rosh and Achote, which is pretty intense. So what is this all about? So, and Steve Zion over there, so he comes to a kind of like a more balanced approach, right? He writes, Hanoder kilu bone boma. He says, somebody who has in mind that he wants to you know, train himself, and he wants to focus himself in a certain way. Ari says, "Dari is mishubach." This is praiseworthy. Kate said, "How so?" Misha is zolal asar alav habaser. Somebody who's a big, you know, glutton, and he forbids himself from meat. Shana oshnatayim, for a year or two. Osha yeshona v'yayin v'asar hayayin alatzmo. He was like constantly drinking, and he tells himself that drinking is asar, or he asks himself from getting drunk. Misha hay rodev shalmonim. Somebody who's crazy for money, and he wants to tell himself not going to accept any gifts. All of these cases, somebody who is very haughty about his good looks, and he decides to become a nazir, so he'll be obligated to shave his hair after 30 days. All of these are derech avodah l'Hashem. When adarim elu b'chayetzim, all these kinds of things, amru chacham lechachamim tell us that nedarim are siag l'prishus. It's really a siag l'prishus. It allows us to create a certain level of holiness. Right, directing ourselves, forcing ourselves in a certain way. But still, a person should not have take on a lot of yisurim, a lot of nedarim, below yargalas mohem, ela yifresh mitvarim shiroi lifresh mohem below neder. But rather, better to do the maisa tova that you want to do without actually asking yourself. The whole maila of a neder is that the Torah holds you to your word. You're not allowed to forget about your word. You cannot profane your word. A Jew takes on an obligation. That obligation is binding kedivrei Torah, just as strong as Torah. So what happens over here? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us still, you're playing with fire a little bit. That's a very serious halacha. And the person who is going to take that on is really taking on a lot. Therefore, better not to take on a darim so much. That being said, so it seems like there could be, there's space to take on a New Year's resolution, since it's not really a neder so much. It's really just kind of like a aspiration for self-improvement. It's not really a religious act anymore these days. And would not necessarily be considered chukas ha'akum. So there seems to be what to rely on. If one wants to rely on more, so there is a Gemara, Mesechus Rosh Hashanah, that tells us, Adam Yidon B'chol Yom, the person is judged every single day. And according to the Shtikal Torah from Rav Shechter, that a day of judgment is a man of sakana, and so therefore you need a schos. So therefore, to take on a resolution that you're going to be better, technically can be done any day of the year. And so therefore, it may be something that's plausible. At the same time, it's definitely not something that we do, as a means of following the Goyish ways, but rather it's something that we might do simply as part of our general self-improvement as Jews, that we're trying to grow, we're trying to be better, we're trying to be better Ovdei Hashem, we're trying to be better Ben Adam Chaver, we're trying to be better Ben Adam Asma, to try to improve ourselves. It's therefore that general tone of growth should be something which is part of our lives, but is not necessarily directed by the secular calendar and the secular customs. So I hope this year is enlightening to some people, and I wish all of you not a happy new year, but a good year, and only health, happiness, and good things ahead. Okay, yashar koach to everyone.
Thank you, Rebbe. You too.
Okay, great to hear from you, Eli.
Good to hear you.
Take care, Rabbi.
Yehuda, great to hear from you. Thanks for joining us.
Joined a minute ago. I didn't realize that it went on until about a minute ago, but whatever I heard was let's give all okay. Something like that.
Shkayach. Shkayach. Okay, all the best, guys. Take care.
You.
Okay. Bye-bye.